This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, listen. You know I support Headway, right? Mm-hmm. Headway, this terrific organization, take care of people with brain injuries, and they've been doing it for years. And it's like a tight-knit little family. We know a whole lot of the people who have passed through it and have come out on the other side much, much better than they went in on the one side. It's a support system. You've got the occupational therapists. You've got people who could sit and spend time and take care of your very basic needs there. It's support for the families. It really is a terrific organization. I talk about them all the time because they do wonderful, wonderful work. You can go to Headway. Is it headway.org or is it headwaygauteng. There we go. headwaygauteng.co.za. That's right. Thank you. I was going to get it. You don't have to interrupt. And one of the ways that we try to raise money, and we were always trying to raise money for Headway because they need, obviously, resources and they need to pay people. And there's a whole lot of stuff that needs to happen there. And it's a hell of a thing to run. I mean, it's not easy to do this. So Bianca and her team deserve all the love in the world. And one of the ways that you might want to be involved is with the Headway Heroes cycling team. And this is something we've actually spoken to Damien and Waldeck about before. We had you guys in here not so long ago. You went on a ride. You managed to raise some serious money, though, which is terrific. And you're doing it again.
Yeah. Right? You know, it's our second year. Last year was a pilot program.
Yeah, your accent has not got any better in the last year.
Okay, sorry, man. It's got worse. I was in Poland now for 2 weeks. So when you put vodka and pierogi together, you become more Polish.
Jeez.
Look, last year was our first year.
Right.
It was a pilot program. I think it went off quite well. We're looking to grow it organically and take baby steps. And I think this year we've already more than doubled our number of riders that are registered for the current running of
the 94.
How many we got? We've got 50.
Wow.
Last year, 25.
Very good.
So we still have time for guys to enter.
Mm-hmm.
There's another, I think, week or so, hey, Damien, to enter.
Correct, until the 20th of September, which is next week, Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Individuals can still enter the cycle challenge. If, however, someone has already entered and for some reason wants to actually ride for a charity, we're more than welcome any other entrants. Until the 12th of October.
We don't have to ride our bicycles. I can give you money.
Correct.
Okay, that's much.
And we've got various avenues for someone to do that, be it through Becker Buddy, be it through Give and Gain, and hopefully if you don't mind, we can put those links onto your website.
Of course we will. Yeah, for sure.
Brilliant.
And you can always go and check out the Headway Heroes Facebook page too. You can also email. We'll put all the addresses and all the links up on cliffcentral.com a little bit later on.
Brilliant.
Okay, so tell me, you guys, are you any good at this cycling stuff? I mean, what are we backing you for?
I used to be quite good, and unfortunately, my health got the better of me. My brother, Waldeck, is a brilliant rider. So a number of individuals will actually go and race the first lap in the VAs or the VB categories.
Is this the 94.7 one?
Correct.
All right. And what day is that? Because I need to make sure I'm not in Joburg. Which day is that?
It's on the 19th of November.
Okay. Sia, will you put that in my diary?
Put that
good
out
time
now?
To be out of town if you're not cycling.
Yeah, if you're not a cyclist. Listen, I admire what you guys are doing, but I loathe cycling, and I loathe road cycling in particular, especially when they decide to close down the whole of Joburg. But what you're doing is good. Gives me a good reason to support this thing. And I think for a lot of people, it would give them a reason to care about it too. Just to remind everybody, this is a very, very interesting story because what you may not realize is that while he was cycling with his two brothers in a really safe area back in 2010, Damien actually suffered a brain injury after being hit by a utility vehicle head-on. His survival rate was under 10% just after the accident. With the support of his family and friends and Headway, he managed to survive this ordeal and tell his story. And I think a lot of people wouldn't have made it through that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Listen, let me maybe jump in because my brother was in a coma and then he was recovering.
Yeah.
So I was there through the process and just to see him sitting here.
Well, Nick, let's not make this about you, all right?
Listen,
I'm sorry.
I'm taking my airtime.
Let Damien speak for himself.
Okay.
I think Valdek started the conversation well. I was lying down. I remember waking up and not knowing where I was, who I was. I felt like Neo from the Matrix. I had all of these pipes coming out of my body. But to be very honest with you, the strangest thing ever was when I actually looked around. I looked around in a ward where a lot of individuals were lying with traumatic brain injury or acquired brain injury for that matter. And it was shocking to see how many young people were actually lying next to me. And how many of those people didn't have any bandages on the faces, on the body. And these individuals acquired brain injury through strokes, through stress. And that is the important part. We all sit here and we think to ourselves that brain injury is caused by someone being a boxer or getting hit by a car. You can have a brain injury from being stressed. So sure. It can actually happen to anyone. It is something that doesn't discriminate in between age, between race, between religion. You could be sitting here today enjoying your life. Tomorrow you can wake up being a changed person. And that is the hard part. You are a changed person, not only for yourself, but also for your family. So all of a sudden, you're going back home to your family, and you're not the same person as what you used to be before. You cannot earn an income.
Yeah.
And that is why Headway is such an important charity. They do this from donations for free to help individuals who cannot do it for themselves.
Did you notice a personality change in Damien, the guy before and the guy after?
He was pretty much a bit of a prick the whole time.
True story.
No, look, you know what? There's subtle changes. And yes. I think that probably for the men in the street, they wouldn't see a difference. But I think close family members, you know, we can see subtle changes, subtle differences. I think it's something that I think you always have to, even Damien knows that he maybe is a little bit less patient, a little bit more hard-headed, so those type of things he has to manage. And he wasn't easy going before, so it's added to it. But I think, you know what, it's all about understanding yourself, and I think also with everyone's help, you know, it's working on those challenges that you have.
Yeah, I think it's also about knowing that you were never a perfect person to begin with. I remember when I had to get from A to B, and it's a course that one has to travel of recovery that's quite steep, much steeper than normal life, and you have those peaks and you have those troughs that you have to get through. The issue is here, when you're trying to recover, those peaks and troughs are compressed much more than your normal day-to-day life. So instead of you having an up and a down every 5 days, every month, it now happens every time you try to do something as simple as trying to put on your socks, tie your shoes.
Yeah.
And when you are in that hollow, you actually lose sight of what you are trying to achieve. And once again, that is why family and organizations such as Headway is important. If you look at Headway and you look at the logo, it's a lighthouse. And the light is there as a sign of hope, as a sign of what is your ultimate goal and how you get there. And you can only get there through support of your friends and family to get yourself out of the little dip before it becomes a black hole and swallows you up as a whole.
Now, I mean, having walked that journey and having been through those troughs and those peaks, what are you still frustrated by? What have you not completely regained or recovered? What sort of things still annoy you?
Yeah, a lot of it is actually physical things. So my back gets sore. I had four vertebrae that were actually cracked. I think six of them were actually compressed. Every second week or so, I have to go to a physio and for a massage because I can't actually sit on a chair. It gets as sore as that. I get headaches. When it gets cold, I've become like my mother. Like my grandmother in Eastern Europe. She used to come out and say, "Oh, winter's coming," something out of the Games of Thrones, perhaps, back in 1980s. And she knew that a cold front was actually coming because she could feel it in her body. Right now, I can feel the weather changing in my shoulder, through my face, where I have a lot of metal.
We should strap you to the roof, and you can tell us what tomorrow's forecast is.
More accurate than
the weather.
Simon Gear.
So there are a lot of challenges, and I think another challenge that perhaps a lot of people do not speak about is stigma that's being associated with something like acquired brain injury. I remember hearing this when I was younger, and yes, when someone gets hit on the head, they lose their memory, etc. And I never took that to heart until I remember I was in occupational therapy, and they were giving me, they were reading a paragraph to me and saying, "Okay, Damien, what can you remember?" And as I was trying to remember things, I realized how much I was actually not remembering. And all of a sudden, those little voices that you heard in the past of what happens to individuals that have brain trauma become louder and louder and louder. And once again, those troughs become much, much bigger holes, yeah, or
must,
even black
you must
holes.
Feel hopeless sometimes.
And that is the issue. It's to regain your self-confidence is a task of immense proportion. And that's why you need people around you to, A, be honest with you, but also to support you as much as they can. I'm very glad to be able to sit here today. I mean, as you can see, I've got perhaps a couple of pages printed here, but I'm speaking to you looking at the pages relatively little.
I've got to say, and this is by no means some patronizing compliment, but having seen you last year and this year, and even when I for the first time met you, if you didn't tell me, there's no way I would have known you had any kind of brain injury.
Yeah, I don't.
And there is stigma, right? What is it about people who have some kind of head injury that everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, now they're going to be retarded.
Yeah.
Now they're going to be difficult to talk to. Now they're going to be difficult to sit down and laugh with.
Yeah, Gareth, I mean, in society, we always try to create the different layers of or different strata of individuals. I remember lying in the hospital, and I was unable to talk, I was unable to move. Mm. And I heard people speaking around me, and the things they were saying weren't very, very positive.
Did they call you a vegetable and stuff like that?
To a degree. But I was lying there, and I knew in my mind that I was able to do everything. I was fortunate enough to actually, through this 94.7 challenge, as we said, our group now grew by 100%, to meet the individual called Jason Lang. Jason has actually done TED Talk shows. He has also acquired brain injury, mm-hmm. but this ship has actually become in some way smarter. So he says all of a sudden his mathematics has shot up, and he's pioneered the use of 3D printing in the medical field. So when a surgeon is trying to do an operation,
what an interesting dude.
Yeah, I mean, you must perhaps
he's got superpowers.
He's got superpowers. So he was hit by something. Instead of becoming the cliche, he became someone extraordinary. I do believe that sometimes, as Valik said, perhaps he sees certain changes in my personality.
Can you shoot webs like Spider-Man?
Yeah. Can't you?
Damn. I feel like running into a truck. Maybe something will happen to me.
I think the important part is what happens in your life. You can look at it as being glass half full, glass half empty. And it's the individuals that look at it as being glass half full.
What's this guy's name, Jason?
Lang. Laing.
Wow.
I hope I'm pronouncing this properly,
Lang, Jason
but
Lang.
Given the fact that I have an East European accent, I usually pronounce everything
when
correctly.
When did your family come here?
In 1990.
So it's as the Berlin Wall collapsed.
You thought, let's get the hell out of
here.
Well,
everyone on the western side of the wall thought, well, we knew what was going to happen. That's everyone on the other side thought, well, the wall's going to get pulled up again. So we got out of there as soon as we could, and I think for the better.
And it's just the two of you and one other brother?
Yeah, and our parents are here as well.
All right. I was talking to... I've actually met a couple of people who left Poland in the last few weeks. They didn't leave Poland in the last few weeks. I've met them in the last few weeks, and they got out of there sort of just around that time, even just before it.
The 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and there are a lot of... There's quite a big Polish community here in South Africa, actually.
That's right. There's a very... healthy community, and it was really concentrated in some of the industrial areas. So a lot of the guys that came out were electricians, millwrights, engineers. But you find
great education from that system, but horrible job opportunities.
Yeah, well, the supply and demand skewed. Right. 45 million people, everyone's educated. But I think we were there now a couple of weeks ago. It's changing.
What's it like now?
Brilliant.
Look, out of the Eastern Bloc countries, it's the best performing economy. So it's westernized enough to make sense for the Western guys to now put a lot of the global, say, accounting centers or certain shed offices are now in Poland for some of the big
and they are not keen on immigrants.
No, you see, that's the... I
wouldn't say that.
Saying it like it's an entirely bad thing.
No, maybe. I think that the... it is a very, very... South Africa is a very diverse country, and I think the one thing we have about us is we interact with so many religions, colors, and nations that we forget how naturally it comes to us. Mm. In Poland, 99.9% of people are Polish. Yep. Everyone's Roman Catholic. Yep. So if you're even Jewish or you Jehovah's Witness, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's very homogenous. I think there is that mentality of... of maybe keeping yourself that in that way that, yeah, they don't want to take. I know they've been taking all the EU funding, yet now when it comes to towing the line with the EU regulations regarding the refugees from Syria and other countries, they're not willing to accept them. So that's been a big
point of contention. Who wants them? I mean, let's be honest.
Well, look, it's a difficult, it's a very difficult question.
If they wanted to come and move into my house, I'd say no too. But it is an interesting place, and I do think that there are probably lots of stories that we could learn about, because I don't think very many South Africans have paid much attention to what happened in the Eastern Bloc in Europe, and they still have an idea in their head somewhere that, you know, oh, communism is this benign, sort of friendly, easy way for people to all be equal, and it's actually quite a vicious, predatory.
It's slavery in a different form.
Unappetizing system,
And it's so, I mean it's great. If
what was it like growing up there?
Well, listen, let me tell you a story about about a banana. So I think we had our first banana when we were just before we left Poland. My aunt went over to Austria for work. She brought us a banana each.
Wow.
So our whole life, we never had a banana. So we ate the banana, and then we put the peel on the road, because in all the cartoons we used to see that used to slide on them. So we were so naive. We put these bananas on the road, and we used to wait and see if a car comes and gets off the road. And nothing happened. We were so disappointed. So in some ways, you know... look, it was a very... if we tell you stories, people think we lived in a crazy world where my aunt used to send my mother coffee from Canada, because we could have an aunt in Canada. And we used to take the coffee bag. There was no coffee anyway. You couldn't buy coffee. You couldn't buy... The supply and demand game was so skewed that there was nothing in the shops.
Yeah.
So we used to take a coffee bag.
Yeah.
We used to fill it with sand and put it on a fishing line. And we used to leave it on a road. And then cars would come by and see this...
A bag of coffee.
They would stop. The woman would usually run out to grab the bag, and we would just pull it back. And then, but really, it was
delightful time.
You know what?
It was delightful until
this must have been the most exciting road in the whole of Poland.
Coffee arrived. It was a roadblock.
It was brilliant until the one car, and as this car was coming out, I thought, I should know this car.
Uh-oh.
And the car stopped. All of a sudden, I saw my father come out and looked towards us and said, right, if you're not home before I get there, you're going to get smacked. And I mean, at that stage, we were about 8 or 9 years of age, and it must have been about 300 or 400 meters to the house. Obviously, he got there before us. Myself, being always the younger and the naughtier one, obviously, I got smacked. Waldeck escaped unhurt.
I used to just blame him.
And it was his idea, so I'm still holding grudge to this day about it.
Wow.
But I think childhood in Poland was great. We were sheltered to a very large degree, so we didn't understand the politics that were happening. As Waldeck said, if I was to compare South Africa and what you can buy in a store in South Africa to what we could buy in Poland, it's a completely different level. Coca-Cola was a problem. To actually buy a Coke was an issue.
You had tickets for food, so you couldn't, even if you had money, you were rationed food. So the government would give you tickets based on a number of people. So let's say you could only buy 2 kilograms of chicken a month, or 2 slabs of chocolate. So then people started trading the tickets. It's like a Bitcoin in a way, like an alternative currency.
We have an inbuilt desire for capitalism, whether we like it or not.
So, and I think if you compare what's happened to Poland since the fall of the Berlin Wall, how it's performing at the moment, maybe it is proof that capitalism to a certain degree does work. I mean, you still need some kind of a socialist element to protect people that can't fend for themselves. But on a large, it's a good thing compared to I remember what Poland was.
What a fascinating thing. Well, listen, let's forget about that, the dark and horrible days of being in Poland. And let's get on with this race. Yeah. You're both going to be racing. We can support you. We'll put up all the links.
Brilliant.
So you can pay attention to what Damien and Waldeck are going to be doing. Their aim is to raise funds for awareness through a cycle challenge, and the funds will be used by Headway to do their good work. And they're looking for more riders to join, so entries are open until the 28th of September only. You need to make sure that you're in before then. Reseeding until the 12th of October. You can donate on backerbuddy.co.za. We'll give you that address. And go to the Headway Heroes Facebook page, or we'll give you their email address as well. And Headway Gauteng, for those people who don't know, it's a registered charity organization dedicated to offering various support programs to survivors of acquired brain injury as well as support to their families and caregivers. Member families have either a son, a daughter, a partner, a parent, or a friend who have sustained some kind of brain injury. And at present, they have two branches situated in Hyde Park and Soweto, respectively. And they've got outreach services in Alexandra. Headway is supported only through donations, so if you can, please do help using technology to empower the brain injured and disabled people so that they and their families can become self-sustaining. And we know how much good work they do. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And hopefully
thanks for your time.
We will see you very, very soon winning and raising lots and lots of money.
For
hopefully
sure.
We'll see you very, very soon on a road bike.
That, no.
Never.
No. I will support you. You will have my complete moral support and I'll donate, but
we'll
that's
put Gareth in a chariot and we'll like put him along.
A chariot, I'm happy. I don't want to be on a bicycle. That's very parvenu.
I don't even think you know how to ride a bicycle, or do you?
How dare you?
Oh.
I've only fallen a couple of times. These guys probably fallen 1,000 times.
A million.
Yeah, bikes are, yeah, it's very dangerous.
Oh, Aina.
It's very dangerous. You don't want to be on bicycles. All right, thank you very much, gents. And all the best to Headway and to our friends and family there as well. You know where to go to find out more. And we'll put up all the links on cliffcentral.com a little later today.
This is cliffcentral.com.